Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
All right, everyone. Hello and welcome into the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Davis Maddock, joined by Jacob Sanderson, as always, on a Thursday morning. And I mean, look, it's a nice and easy week for us on DraftKings. One of the 8 spots that you get just comes preloaded. You get to play $4,600 Zach Moss against the Tennessee Titans. And, you know, I mean, it's probably a good way to start. We should probably just start philosophically how we approach these things, because some people will just want to fade that guy. They will come into this late and they will say their raison d'etre is to just not play the guy who is going to be on 70% of rosters. I would go the other way. I would say we've already had a slate this year where Raheem Mostert was 55% owned in the Millionaire Maker and ended up on the winning team in every contest. I am not fighting the Zach Moss situation. I will be embracing the Zach Moss situation.
I too will be embracing the Zach Moss situation. 4,600, like, you can quibble about matchup, about you know, an efficient game. What if he just ends up 12 or 14 or whatever? Reality is, it's like the nature of the running back position each week, there aren't usually that many massive separators. So just playing another running back who's $1,000 more, who beats him by 2, isn't helping you, right? And you're just inviting even a lower pure lineup. In order to actually make the Zach Moss thing, like, you either need one of those $5,000 to $6,500 running backs to go or in the mid-20s on top of that, kind of having that land floor based outcome, or you just need to flip the build entirely and find a way to get 230 spots. And, you know, one of which probably ends up being Christian McCaffrey, who himself is going to be extreme. So I'm seeing Zach Moss projected close to 80% owned in small field. And, like, that's pretty close to the point where you're just like, gets injured though, but it's not, like, all day there. So I will probably still be playing Zach Moss most of my lines. It just puts an interesting perspective on how you build the rest of your lineup since we're effectively playing DraftKings with one less position this week.
Yeah, it is sort of interesting. I think he probably will approach the perspective of, like, well, maybe I do just play that he gets injured in this game, you know, that he rolls up on his ankle or whatever. Even if he has to spend a quarter in the tent or whatever, you know, right, something like that, because he will be on so many rosters. I actually think probably the best leverage play against him is in the first game, the Los Angeles Chargers at the New England Patriots, 23 team total for the Chargers. That is one of the higher team totals of the week, you know, just because that is the new NFL and that's just how we do things. I think Eckler is this, like, I what I'll say right now is I know Eckler is going to be a favored play in The Sims because no one is going to want to play Austin Eckler. I don't really think Keenan will be all that popular. Now, Jalen Guyton, Liam Murphy is chomping at the bit to play Jalen Guyton.
He wants our tickets to $1 million to ride on Jin's not particularly broad shoulders this week. So it's times are hard, right? You know, when we started doing this podcast, it was light out. Then it became dark in the morning. It became light again, actually, due to daylight savings time. And now it's become dark even with daylight savings time. And that's, you know, that Jalen Guyton season is upon us, is when daylight savings time is past and 7 a.m. in Vancouver, there's a sun.
Yeah, It's very dark. Okay, so let's say hypothetically DeMario Douglas does not play in this game, which I think is probably the way it's going to trend. So you will have the option.
Plays after the 1 week concussion.
Right. So you will have the option of Tyquan Thornton, Devontae Parker, or Juju Smith-Schuster. Those will be your choices. Do you or are you interested in playing? I will say I'm a smidgen interested in Tyquan Thornton. A smidgen interested in Tyquan Thornton.
Yeah, I mean, like, if that would be the one, because in theory you can just deep pass. I still think like my guess as to how this game goes is like Bailey Zappe plays a little. He's really bad. I think they might even work in Malik Cunningham a little bit. He's just gonna run around. I don't need to feel a desire to play a New England Patriot yet. I think if you really want to, you can play Ray. His role has gotten better as his play has gotten better. But like, what's reminding really? 17 points. The Patriots are going to score one touchdown at maximum in this game. So no, I'm definitely not playing Juju. Not if my life depended on it. I'm not playing. I don't know. Hunter Henry. Can I play Hunter Henry? Sure.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't encourage it, but you can. I'm not going to say straight to jail.
I just think I'd rather do that than one of the receivers. Like, if I'm going to play a volume-based Patriot play, I'd rather just get tight end out of the lineup or to not play a single Patriot.
Yeah. All right, the next game actually should be good. The Detroit Lions against the New Orleans Saints. Sounds like Shahid for sure is not going to play. Olave is on the borderline. Juwan Johnson actually got banged up and then just kind of gutted it out in that game last week. So really, this is all to say, you know, the 11 minutes we spent talking about A.T. Perry last week was actually not a waste of time, because you could just refer back to that conversation this week. The thing I would be most excited about would be if Lynn Bowden actually ended up being a playable guy in Daily Fantasy in 2023. If you were unfamiliar with the legend of Lynn Bowden, just like go look at some of his YouTube stuff. He's unbelievable. And on the Lions side, I actually think this could be like an awesome game. You're correlating Gibbs and Perry and Taysom. I think Taysom is actually a legit play this week, but I could see this game just going way over.
I'm going to shout out Mark. Do you know why I'm playing A.T. Perry this week?
The main event.
Well, no, I looked up his name. I'm gonna do the Rich Rebar bit, which is I was like, I see the acronym. Is this cool? It's like, is it like just like I don't know. Andrew Todd Perry? It's not. Etorian Perry. So yeah, it's good. That's absolutely good. So shout out to Reeves. We'll put Etorian Perry this week.
Yeah. You can call him All Touches Perry if you want.
Oh, nice.
All touch. That was Ricky D yesterday, on the Swolecast. So I'm in. I think Perry, Bowden, Goff with Gibbs. I mean, you don't have to play the quarterbacks in this game. You could play, you know, Kyler and then play Gibbs and Perry, like whatever. But this game, at least one of my single entry teams will have multiple players from this game. And honestly, all my lineups might have one player from this game. If the Saints coaching staff says before the game, Lynn Bowden is starting on offense, I mean, I'm just not going to be able to help myself.
You can't miss opportunity, right? No. That gives you the feeling of preseason DFS, feeling of XFL DFS on an NFL main slate.
Yeah. It just I'm not even being sarcastic. Like Bowden, because I'm assuming Perry will be the one that gets owned. I'm assuming Perry will be the one that projects a little bit better. So not only it's actually a spot where the Sims might even think it's okay to play Lynn Bowden, assuming that they're projected kind of within the same standard deviation of one another. Luckily, our next game, I mean, we are just going to be able to breeze right through this one. We've got Desmond Ridder versus Tim Boyle, the showdown in the Meadowlands. I mean, a flag planted Bijan last week. It worked. I'm not doing it this week because there will not be enough collective plays run in this game for anyone to be. I mean, this might be the nadir of regular season professional football. This is really, really just dark shit.
You can play Bijan Robinson. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, Garrett Wilson. I know he scored last week. Whatever, Breece. No,
dude, everything is a swing. It's a struggle, guys. Like I watched almost all of that game. And Breece Hall, like 100% exposure in my high stakes stuff, and like I was grateful that he got fantasy points. Like that felt like we were getting blood from the stone to get to 12 fantasy points.
Yes, correct. All right, the next game. I just think this one is awesome. Arizona at Pittsburgh. I do not agree that the Steelers should be favored by this much, that the Cardinals should have an 18-point team total. Kyler, you know, he's out there. He's doing his thing. The thing was not that good against the Los Angeles Rams, but the point stands. I still, like Kyler stuff, I mean, Kyler is going to be 0.6% owned in contest this week with this low of a team total. Also, can't really overlook the fact that the Steelers are scoring points now. I mean, they are advancing
400 yards, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of nuts. I mean, are we playing Jalen Warren? Are we playing Pickens? Are Freiermuth chalk? How are you approaching this game?
The Freiermuth stuff is particularly interesting. And that he's done nothing all year. And then as this now spot, personally, I'm buying it. I mean, first of all, I'm predisposed to like Freiermuth. I've just always been a fan of him as a player. I'm still not seeing that his ownership is projected now. I would imagine that the handbill bros probably juice that up beyond what from projections. But I think it's valid. Like one of the big complaints about Matt throwing the middle of the field. Obviously, Pat Freiermuth is the guy who's going to be running those middle of the field routes. Now you get a different offensive coordinator in there. They read the middle of the field. There's your tight end. I think he's playable. Pickens is totally playable. You can play Deontay Johnson if you want. It's like, I don't know. Are you ever winning $1 million with that guy? Look, at present, ownership on Jalen Warren, then the Najee Harris spot. And, you know, if they're playing positive game script and they're scoring two touchdowns, like Harris solves the goal line work. I know he's gross. I know he's Najee Harris. And I know that I'm going to get sued for saying this. But I think at like substantially lower ownership, potentially, he's the better play of the two.
Wow. You will be hearing from my lawyer for recommending Najee Harris on this podcast. I do think like sort of a, I mean, this is probably too far off the board, but like a Kyler, Hollywood Brown, Najee Harris, you know, we've seen worse and grosser combinations when
$1 million. I played Najee just 4,900 against Green Bay. It was like one of my best DFS weeks. I played a lot of Najee Harris that week.
It's not, I mean, I think you're right that the positive game script guy is definitely going to be Najee. I would like to get some Kyler stuff in this week. I also, if Michael Wilson misses again, I will be in attendance for Greg Dortch week part three, as he two smalls. Oh, sure. I don't know. You know, what's TJ Watt scores a touchdown, and two smalls TJ Watt. We love Gregory Dortch on this program. All right. The Indianapolis Colts and the Tennessee Titans. Now, we already did our Zach Moss bit, but this is something.
Sorry, please introduce them as the current wild card in the AFC. AFC Indianapolis Colts versus the Tennessee Titans.
Oh man, it's so brutal. What I find fascinating is that the total capitulation by the field on Zach Moss is going to mean that Pittman Jr. and Josh Downs will be a little bit less owned than their median projections should suggest, and I also feel like the people are going to be treating Zach Moss as like an independent event, not like a member of the Indianapolis Colts.
Right.
So there's not going to be that much DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, you want to talk about Derrick Henry was like the giga chalk last week. Derrick Henry is going to be like, so unowned this week. Like no one right now. Let's see here. What is Henry projected for? I see Henry projected for 7.9%. I would so take the under on that. I would so take the under on that.
Yeah, and this is the last week to target the Colts run defense. This is the final Grover Stewart, their nose tackles, performance enhancing drug suspension, which is like completely altered how they operate as a defense from being a pass funnel to just generally bad. I agree that all the Titans are great plays. I think it's totally viable. Titans are a pass funnel. If you want to play Pittman or Dunn's and Henry, it's probably the way that you can like talk me into a Zach Moss fade making sense. Probably what I'll do more frequently than that will just be to play Hopkins correlated with Zach Moss. Hopkins is a phenomenal play. This one will play this week. He at this stage of his career is going to do best as a sack veteran type zone beating receiver. The Colts just play like Stella cover three constantly with Gus Bradley. DeAndre Hopkins already had his best game of the season this season against back in their matchup in Indianapolis. He's like the exact type of receiver that the Colts are built to just get obliterated by. So I think he's gonna have a really strong week this week. I think you can Zach Moss's at probably not that much ownership because like he's gonna be treated as an independent event. So I'm definitely gonna play some of this game, and let it be known. I've become legitimately emotionally invested in a Gardner Minshew led wild berth. I will be watching this game in full. No red zone, exclusively wow. On the TV, jersey on, laundry bro. Let's go. Like
laundry broing in the Gardner Minshew jersey would be extra.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I have a Minshew jersey. I mean, I'll be wearing a tail even though he's not playing. My only two jersey options are Jonathan Taylor or neither of whom will be playing this week.
Okay, so we've not talked very much about quarterback yet, but we are heading to Miami at Washington. Sam Howell, I don't know, he's going to project for about 97 dropbacks in this game. McLaurin, Samuel, Dotson, Logan Thomas. We have the always popular Tyreek Hill. Sounds like A-Chain is probably going to suit up this week.
Feels like he's playing.
Feels like he could have played. Yeah, feels like he could have last week. You know, we'll see because people forget he actually started that game when he came back. He just immediately got rolled up on. Now, I don't know what they'll do with him this week. I don't know if they'll be like Jeff Wilson Jr. actually is going to start and you and Mostert are just going to, you know, who knows? Although I do feel like they like A-Chain more than they like Mostert and Jeff Wilson Jr., but they might just be like, we can't give him that many touches because the dude's made of glass.
Like, I mean, they definitely like him more. Than they like Jeff Jr. Because 2 weeks ago, Jeff Wilson Jr. was a healthy.
I guess that is true. I'd kind of forgotten that they made him a scratch, which is kind of wild.
And then I don't think that they really are loving Mostert that much because Jeff Wilson was active 2 weeks ago. And the first half of that Jets game, it felt like Jeff Wilson Jr. was going to the backfield.
Yeah.
So like he went from. He went, actually, let's just play him in a 50-50 with Mostert from healthy and active. Tells me, and I think this is like, I mean, I know he had that big touchdown run at the end, kind of in garbage. Nobody was around after through the line. But like Mostert's efficiency since the beginning of the year, it has declined since then. I think that they're probably at a point where they're, you know what, we've probably put too many things on the plate of our 31-year-old this year, and we were planning to. Let's walk this back and make sure he's still for the playoffs and let's get the other guys some kids. You know, whether that all goes on HN with these injury concerns, who knows? But I do tend to think he'll have a good role. But Washington obviously also just a nut matchup, especially in nut matchups in the receiving game where they just give it up. Maybe not anymore. They no longer have you know, the Make America Great Again ambassador, Jack Del Rio, on. But I don't think that they can just change their personnel overnight. So this is going to be an awesome A-Chain. And the leverage opportunity. Tyreek is always owned. I think he's going to be even more owned than usual. And I think the, like, Tua's will be even more owned than usual. So I think A-Chain's a really fantastic play.
Yeah, you just do Sam Howell, Zach Moss, Devin A-Chain, Tyreek Hill, Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel. There we go. I mean, you basically like just that's your skeleton key, and you just go and ship it, and you win $1 million. It's that simple. What I will say is that if I'm there Sunday morning and I'm using the sim stuff and I'm looking at it and it's giving me a shit ton of Howell, I mean, I'm just not even gonna fight it. It's just like Sam Howell, his team got blown out by about 900. On Thanksgiving, they spent the entire fourth quarter just handing the ball off to Chris Rodriguez and waving the white flag. He had 20 fantasy points in that game. You know, it's just like, there. Yeah. So I actually do think the Howell, Achane, yep. Tyreek, like play volume bet is pretty good.
Howell had 20 points in a loss to Tommy DeVito at home.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Like he can play as bad as possible. He's still getting there for every time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm in on that. I think assuming Achane fully cleared, no rap sheet or Glazer report on Sunday morning saying, oh, they're gonna ease him in, right. Or he's gonna play behind Darrington Evans or whatever. Like if we get any of that, I'll adjust. But I'm gonna treat it the same way I did 2 weeks ago when he came back. When he came back, he started that game. And he was 14% owned. He would have been the best play of the slate,
And he's not going to be 14%. I promise you,
no.
He's going to be half that at most. I'm very excited. Very excited to play.
All right, the ownership and the total would tell you this is the potential game of the week: the Denver Broncos against the Houston Texans. To be honest,
Russ not back. Really,
not really buying it. Not really buying the resurgent Russell Wilson. Yep. Not buying Cortland Sutton scoring a touchdown every single week. The Sims will definitely love Judy. If Dulcich comes back off the IR this week, the Sims will like him. The Sims will for sure like Javonte Williams. I do wonder if $8,100 CJ Stroud, if the people finally get a little bit of sticker shock there.
Holy shit. I just got some sticker shock. Yeah.
Yeah. $7,300 Tank Dell. I mean, Tank Dell is approaching. I think he's now above like Jalen Waddle's rolling average price for the year. It's the Texans. They are priced all the way up. What are you doing?
Well, this might be moot by the time you actually get this on Saturday, depending on practice reports. But Dalton should not play in the fourth quarter of the game on Sunday. He was used in a really bizarre play call where he ran like a wheel route down the sideline on a fourth down, just missed it. I believe he pulled his hand that play. Did not play, to my eyes, the rest of the game. Missed practice on Wednesday. He's projected down what I'm looking at. My guess is that's wrong. I think I'm leaning that he's not gonna play. In which case, $2,500 Brevin Jordan.
Sign me up.
Once upon a time, D darling. Once upon a time, my 18th round pick basketball draft. This is like my personal Albert O. When Albert O played the Cowboys, he rushed out to play him when Noah Fant missed. Brevin Jordan is an empire. I'm ready to lock him into legitimately him in a main event lineup. Like that's how down bound a likely Dallas Goedert team. So I think that would be your way of building a very cheap Texan stack, as if you can find a way to get the ton through $2,500 Brevin Jordan. In terms of the receivers, I think we're gonna get the Nico Collins, Pat Surtain situation this week.
Interesting.
I think that I am worried. We've kind of seen here. Like his production is pretty up and down, right? He's pretty volatile. Which they're kind of using him when the matches are good. So I think that I am actually worried. The price difference between him and Dell. Dell's on the injury. Nico had the better week last week. The ownership discrepancy might be large as it's been in the previous week. So I think my preference is Dell, then. And I think you can play Singletary. It's an incredible matchup. He had 81% of the snaps last week. Damian Pierce pretty dust.
Yeah, you definitely. I mean, so you definitely can do that. You can definitely play Javonte. You can. I would not play Russ. Honestly, I just don't think he's got the absolute ceiling to get there. Yeah, I would not do that. I think Sutton, Judy. If Tank doesn't play, you definitely can play Robert Woods. Like you definitely can. I love the Brevin Jordan call though. I mean, anytime I can hop on board with someone else's Albert Okwuegbunam, I would actually love to do that. I think the Singletary point is a very astute one because he's not going to project that well. He'll project okay, but just the fact that Damian Pierce is active is going to stop him from projecting super good. But clearly, Singletary is just, you know, the guy in that backfield. And yeah, right now, he is just really not projecting all that strong. I think the number one most important injury rollout of the slate is Noah Brown playing? Is Tank Dell playing?
Yeah.
Is Dalton Schultz playing? And if you get a clean sweep, I mean, if Tank, Dalton, and Noah Brown are all out, I mean, that is like Brevin Jordan, Robert Woods,
Xavier Hutchinson.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that's the other question you would have to ask, though, is Tank being out, is that actually really shitty for Stroud? Because Tank is kind of like his guy. Tank is like the chain mover, foxhole guy. And if Tank is out, does that sort of just systemically mess the whole operation up? I think there's a decent chance it does. I actually think there's like a pretty decent chance the Tank being out is like bad for Stroud and the Texans. So just something to noodle on as you're setting your stuff.
Full agree. Tank breakout coincided with the elevate Stroud in our minds from it's a pretty good rookie quarterback to like, oh my God, like this guy's take the Hall of Fame. So I think that he's brought their offense up to a different dimension. Stroud is not an $8,100 player whatever without him.
Yeah, that is definitely true. All right, Carolina, Tampa Bay, Rashad White, good play every single week. Mike Evans, good play every single week. I'm not playing any. Like with Zach Moss, you don't have to play Chuba Hubbard. You know, you just guys like that just don't even have to enter into your thinking, right? It's just not relevant.
Yeah. Are we at the point now? Like I'm looking at Mike Evans, $1,400 more than Chris Godwin and like 10 times the ownership. Are we just at the point now where the projections have just accepted, like they've thrown out the previous history? They're now living in 2023 and it's like, It's Joe Godwin. Is there any hope? I'm appealing to you as an ambassador for Godwin. Like, is this?
Yeah, I'm a Godwin. I'm a Godwin slappy. The thing is I'm a Godwin slappy. But even I'm just like, what's the point? I mean, truly, like, what is the point? Like, it's like the whole thesis.
Landry era?
Well, the whole thesis of Godwin this year specifically was like, oh, Baker is going to struggle making these deep throws outside the hashes that Evans succeeds on. He's just going to feed Godwin. Right. And that has not been the case in any way, shape, or form. Like, Baker has been mostly fine. Baker, the entire red zone offense is built out of Mike Evans' targets. Yeah, like, he gets every red zone opportunity. And, you know, I mean, Chris Godwin is one of these guys who has been so propped up by the Dynasty Bro community. Like, they just love him that it's hard to like objectively think about what he has produced in the NFL. And yeah, I just am not like, I will play Rashad White this week. And that's probably the only player from this game that I'm interested in. I'm really the only non-chalk thing I think I will be doing this week is playing some Arizona players and playing Achan, because the chalk this week is just good. Like the chalk everywhere is just like extremely good plays.
Agree on all counts. You're not playing as are you? We have to Jonathan Mingo sideline fairness. What the fuck?
Yeah, Jonathan Mingo. If you could get a 2026 third round pick for him in your dynasty league of choice, I would snap accept that trade. I don't think it's going to be happening for Jonathan Mingo.
Never been more Jover than that. Like what on earth? Incredible.
Well, I mean, I would argue things have been more Jover. The first being, Jonathan Mingo has 100 more receiving yards than Quentin Johnston. I will give you the ultimate Jovering. I mean, one, we did just talk about the Chargers playing this awful defense, Frexen. And we talked about Jalen Guyton and didn't mention Quentin Johnston's name. Quentin Johnston has 180 receiving yards this year. Deron Bland has 207 interception return yards this year. So that's where we are at with old QJ. All right. Definitely the most fun game of the week. Hard to tell how much this is going to be fun for fantasy, but the San Francisco 49ers traveling to play against the Philadelphia Eagles. Again, it's early. Ownership's going to take a while to get to a good spot. this looks like the lowest ownership Jalen Hurts is going to have in a game in the regular season this year. If that is the case, I will maybe just play every tournament team with Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
And sometimes do it naked and sometimes not, but that's my current lean.
I'm not frankly that afraid of the 49ers defense. They were pretty middle of the pack before the bye week. They have been great since. All because of Chase Young. Like, is that fundamentally changed about their defense? Maybe. I think that they've been fortunate where the really strong pass rush. I still am not super sold on their secondary being more than average, and they've had some really massive spots against like Jacksonville, where their weakness is the line. Seattle, where their weakness is the offensive line. Phillies is not the offensive line. Like, I believe we'll be able to buck against both Bosa and Young and give Hurts time against a secondary that is fine, but I don't think that it's game breaking. I'm not that defense. I Philly will benefit from being pushed. And I think each game kind of starts as a defense. This is a defense. I kind of saw this with the Philly Buffalo game where like it didn't look like it was going to be in the first half and really, really got there in the second half. You can kind of foresee a simulation where as these teams start to push each other, the offense just start to win out over the defenses. Philly have to pass the route. You're not going to be able to run on San Francisco at all. And we've seen with Philly, like, they went into the matchup, right? Right? If Philly foresee a scenario in this game where DeAndre's like seven carries and Jalen Hurts has, you know, eight scrambles or whatever and two pass attempts, and they're just like we're gonna game through the air if the run game is not going to succeed. So I'm quite into playing Hurts stacks, especially when Dallas Goedert's like, sounds like he's legitimately comfortable for this game, but either way, like, if he's either rushing back from an injury or out, all the targets funnel around AJ Brown Smith. I would definitely want to play Hurts single stacked, and if you could even consider double stacked in small fields. And you can play the Purdy side, of course, but I'm interested in the Hurts side based on the ownership.
Hurts and Debo. I mean, that's what you do. I think you just play Hurts for the triple push equity, or that AJ Brown gets 18 points and Julio Jones catches a touchdown and then Jalen Hurts runs to win. I mean, I think that's the right way to play it. I guess this week with the Saints wide receivers and with the Patriots wide receivers and with Zach Moss, it's maybe like marginally more possible to get in, you know, the gig expensive Hurts and AJ Brown stuff. That'll be something I'll be looking in pretty closely to see what happens with specifically like how plus EV Jalen Hurts stuff is in the sim stuff on Sunday morning. But that is my current read right now, is that is what I want to do on all my teams, is just Jalen Hurts at 5%, 6%, 7%. Yeah. Like, he's the man. Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially with Josh Allen off the slate. He's really, really the only guy that has your ceiling right now. To me, you don't even get to Brett, but you can at least get to like Hurts, Smith, McCaffrey with Moss and, you know, a cheap Saint or something like that. Like, that's very gettable. So I'm going to play tons and tons of Eagle stacks.
Yes. Yeah. 100% agree. All right. Final game. Pretty interesting. The Cleveland Browns at the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, not terrible matchup for Kyren Williams. Did get jacked up in price after completely giga smashing last week. I think Kyren is probably the third best running back play of the week for me after Moss and Achan. Other people will disagree with the Achan part. They'll say he's the second best running back play of the week. I Cup, Puka, Kyren, all jams to me. Might play a minimum one Ram in every lineup. Honestly, I think they're all just such good plays.
Man, I'm struggling with the Puka and Cup in this defensive matchup, but I guess maybe I'm just a square and I got a cedar. I'm definitely in on Kyren. I'll go fourth best play. I'm pretty lucky. The only guy that I would say is I think Christian McCaffrey is the best running back play on the slate, but I would go with.
Wow, how brave of you!
I know. It is very brave of me to want to play Christian McCaffrey in a marquee where the 49ers probably winning this game more than any game that they've played the entire year. And we'll probably feed absolute shit out of McCaffrey in a week that we also have a bunch of spend down options. We'll definitely be playing Kyren, and I don't even see a ton of ownership on him. Maybe that changes, but yeah, definitely into him. And I mean, if Flacco is the starting quarterback, I'm not saying you can play Flacco, but it makes all the Browns' weapons way more playable. DTR, because you're not going to get fumbles, drop back and pass if they're behind. So you know he has familiarity with Elijah Moore. I think that's really interesting at $3,500. And then Njoku has just had an absolute role the last 2 months really, and he's very in play every single week.
Yeah, I got no issue with that. I guess where I would land is that the Cup and Puka stuff is the target tree is so narrow there. And Stafford is actually playing pretty well. I mean, he threw 4 touchdowns last week. The dudes just ran bad. I mean, Cooper Kupp is $7,100 on FanDuel this week, which is just hilarious. He's less expensive than Puka Nacua, which is you tell yourself that at the beginning of the year, you're just I don't know, something crazy.
Are you sure that it's over for Cooper Kupp?
I mean, look, you know, the mitochondrial fucking neuropathy or something. I mean, that was the rumor. The rumor was that it is legitimately Jover for him, and that this is this health thing, and he's not going to come back
from
it.
Was the rotopath cliff?
Yes, the target cliff. I mean, I think probably he's just a 31-year-old dude who's banged up and just doesn't have enough time in season to get healthy. And he'll probably be better next year. You know, I mean, that would be my guess. I know this information against my will because Daigle wrote it in his waiver wire column this week, but I think the Browns have 4 of their defensive starters either out or questionable this week. So, you know, a little bit of maybe the Browns defense is a little bit more vulnerable, but it's just I think if Kyren ends up getting sort of pumped in ownership, then Puka and Kupp become, you know, they become marginally more interesting or whatever. But I do think they're both really good plays.
Okay. You've talked about enough that I'll continue them in. I think I'm scarred because I have them both together on a FFP that I had to sweat into the playoffs and watch them score.
Oh yeah. Well, I got a bunch. I have Kupp and Nacua on some FFPC teams that just didn't make it. That are eliminated. So I get it.
I squeaked out a 4-4 seed. I'm starting them both this week. And Chris Godwin. I also have to start on that team. I can't wait for just straight stat lines of 4 catches for 23 yards. But all right. I'm in on these Rams.
All right, there we go. Okay, flag plants for me, Devin Achane. And you know what? You only live one time. Lynn Bowden Jr. at minimum salary. If in fact Alave and Shahid do not play and the Saints don't, you know, Devery Henderson could end up suiting up for this team on Sunday. I'm not putting anything past them, but Lynn Bowden playing starting snaps in an NFL game, that dude is scoring a touchdown. It's happening. So I got Achane and Lynn Bowden as my flag plants this week.
I need them to run the double wildcat with Taysom Hill and Lynn Bowden.
Can you imagine?
They both line up 1 foot diagonal from the center. We don't know which one's going to get snapped to at any given time. It would be electric. It would be more fun to watch than Derek Carr. My flag plan is Devin Achane as well this week. But I will the other thing that we both agree on, which is I will say specifically Devonta Smith, a little cheaper, a little easier to play with Christian McCaffrey. And we've now seen two basically as soon as Dallas Goedert is out of the way, Devonta Smith just goes ham and immediately starts earning over a 25% target share. So he's my favorite. Lock iterations of that game, but I will play 7 iterations of that game, especially from the Philly side. Goofy flag plant this week will be Brennan, who I cannot wait to play in a legitimate DFS lineup. I've been dreaming of this ever since the Devy days at Miami. He almost every route after Dalton Schultz out. Who knows if that translates to this week? But if you get 75% route rate opportunity, $2,500 in CJ Stroud's offense, ride.
Can't wait. Absolutely. I will 100% join you on the Brevin Jordan trade. Everyone, thank you very much for listening. We will be back next week, hopefully with oodles full of Devin Achane, Brevin Jordan, and Lynn Bowden Jr. touchdowns. Good luck this week, guys. All right, there we go.